Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The home team.
And here we go.
Are the home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris and Jeff, a couple more hours with you tonight.
I got a great tweet from our friend Jeremy. And Brame, I'm going to have to show you this, that I didn't even realize this, but when an otter hits Niedermeyer's horse, you could actually see the Oregon Track Stadium in the background there in Animal House.
Oh, wow. Yeah, look at that.
Just captured the national championship.
That's good. Yeah, well, that's where they filmed it. They were going to film it in Athens, but
yes.
Yeah, we didn't want them here.
The story I heard that it was going okay, but then I don't know if this is 100% verified, but apparently the story goes that when Dr. Davidson and Dean Tate are kind of reading the script, and when it got to Otter and Dean Wormer's wife, they took a pass all on it.
Yeah.
So,
Oregon was more than happy to oblige them, and that's a good little moment now in Animal House, that the place where decades later Georgia would claim its first ever track and field national championship.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, what do we got going on here?
We got a 1-0 Texas Tech lead in the top half of the fourth inning.
Unfortunately, we're not sitting in a lightning delay right now.
No, which is where we would be
yes.
if Georgia had won last week. But anyway, Duke down 1-0. And tonight is when you've got the two main events because, well, we were guaranteed at least three, but no more than three SEC schools to make it to Omaha. One already has with state winning. And then you've got
Florida-Auburn
tonight and then Arkansas-South Carolina.
Right.
Where the Pigs lost for just the fourth time all season yesterday.
They are now 34-4 at home.
You know, in the Arkansas tonight is they're starting Isaiah Campbell. He started their regional final game last week against Dallas Baptist and didn't even get an out. He walked two hitters and gave up a hit, and they took him out. They did end up winning the game 4-3, but so they got a guy starting tonight who couldn't even get Dallas Baptist out last week.
Yeah, you know, he came in and pitched one of the games against us, and Dave and I were looking at the numbers, and his numbers had kind of been up and down. He's a big guy, and I'm sure he was a top prospect, and he looked good against us, but he just seemed to be one of those all-or-nothing guys. That was a game we wound up winning 3-2 when McGovern threw out the runner at home on the attempted sack fly.
The Saturday game.
Right, but he kind of quieted the bats for those last couple of innings, but then he was just one of those guys. And you look back, he had a couple of midweek starts and a couple of SEC starts where he didn't pitch well, but when he was on, he was really on. So that must have been one of those – when he pitched against Dallas Baptist, Chris, we're not knowing a thing about it, I would imagine Dave Van Horn probably had somebody on the ready in the bullpen.
Well, you know, it's interesting that he did that because it's not like Arkansas didn't have a game to spare there.
Right.
But, I mean, it was like we saw last year with the Yankees and Severino in that playoff game where you got to go and get a guy. So here they are in the postseason. You walk, walk, hit, and you're down 1-0. That was it. He didn't even make it out of the first.
By the way, I saw a perfect example of you just shake your head and say, that's baseball. The Mets beat the Yanks 2-0 last night. And I'm not 100% sure if I'm remembering the right players. I was laying in bed trying to stay awake to watch the end of it. But I believe it was Aaron Hicks who was 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. Well, the Yankees have got one on and one out in the ninth inning. He has 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. What does he do? Knocks a cover off the ball, lines into a 5-3 double play.
Said he'd been better off striking out
right.
for a fourth time is what you're saying?
Sometimes it's just, if you're a Yankees fan, it's not your night. If you're a Mets fan, it is. So the guy who struck out three times, he absolutely tattoos it. Boom, right to the third baseman. Whoop, 5-3, double play ball game.
Man, Jake DeGrom was watching that thinking, where can I get this run support?
Out.
Two whole runs?
Yeah, two would be great for him.
He'd love that.
So it was, I guess, was it Friday when Gardner hit the home run off of him? Yeah, but he had only given up one up to that point.
He had given up one through seven, and he went out for the eighth, and then Gardner hit a homer, and I think he ended up getting tagged for maybe like one or two more runs. But so that was his first loss of the year, but I believe the Mets scored one on only, I mean, just a couple of hits, too. That poor guy.
Told you, New York, that's where you had the Yankees match, the Belmont, you got the Open at Shinnecock.
Got the Open coming,
weekend.
Yeah, huge. Well, they still got the Jets, though, and the Giants and the Knicks, and the Mets, actually, who the Braves play tomorrow. And, you know, the Mets were 11-1, and now they're
– yeah, they're bad.
I think they're 28-33, maybe. Even worse than that.
I saw a number because they were just stunningly promoing the Yankees-Mets series. And since a certain date, I don't know when, May 15th, May 1st, the Yankees had the best record since then and the Mets the worst.
Yeah.
But all you have to do is look at DeGrom's pitching lines that you pulled up. And when he goes at least seven innings, three straight starts, and gave up, what was it, 0-1-0, and did not get a win, that does not bode well for your team.
Well, yeah, so they were 11-1. They're 28-34. So they're seven. They've won 17 of their last 50 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a 34%
winning
rate. Yes, that's not good.
Anyway, they come to Atlanta tomorrow. The only bad news is it's only for two games.
Jeez.
So,
what's going on with these schedules these days, Braves?
Yeah,
this interleague play.
Mets are coming to town for two games, and then it'll be the Padres.
I saw that. Did you see this little rumor here? I guess they're trying to follow football, that baseball is thinking about expanding by two to get to 32 teams. Which makes you wonder, it's like, all right, then would they do the four-team divisions on each side and, you know, add to the playoffs?
Of course they would. I've heard that they might want to be going back to Montreal.
What would you do, Montreal and Vegas?
Oh, Vegas, yeah. I think Montreal. But I always love when they want to go back to a city where baseball already left.
Well, they'll build them a new stadium is what will happen.
Yeah. All right, five.
Would those be the two choices you think, though?
Yeah, Montreal is one I read a lot about, and then maybe Vegas would be another one, but
they'd have to build a dome there.
Well, yeah,
Charlotte's not quite.
Plus, I mean, you got the Braves are so close. Everyone loves the Braves in the South.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charlotte's not quite. I'd heard at one point maybe San Antonio. I don't think it's quite big. And, I mean, pretty much every big city's got a team.
Yeah, everyone in California does, right?
I mean, so they ain't going to Sacramento.
The Padres haven't moved to L.A. too, have they?
Not yet.
All right.
We got the two at L.A. and the two Bay Area teams.
And then the Padres. And Sacramento's not getting one.
I would think maybe – So
what about Portland?
Portland, I was thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know if this, they love the Blazers, but Portland's a big city, but they don't have football or baseball or hockey.
Well, their pro baseball team's Oregon State.
That's true. That's got to be the biggest city that's only got one of the four, right?
Portland?
It's got Portland or San Antonio.
Yeah.
So to me, I would guess Vegas and Montreal.
Yeah. I think Montreal, I think Portland's definitely in play too, possibly, if they're looking to expand.
And I'm not sure if there's an actual date. I would wonder, too, if baseball, with what the Golden Knights have done, if baseball's saying, oh, we could cha-ching in on that, too.
Well, and the Raiders are moving there. I mean, all of a sudden,
the
Vegas.
So the door's open.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas will go from having nothing to three. And then the NBA was the first one to really – I mean, they put the All-Star game there.
And they had an NBA team when Tark was coaching there.
True,
anyway.
Yeah. But
I said, they were doing all those light shows and all before the NBA teams were.
But they were the first league to not be afraid to go there. And now they might end up being the only league that doesn't have a team there.
Correct.
All right, let's jump into today's 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, another 2018 Georgia signee, Nadab Joseph, is heading to junior college out in Kansas. What does this mean for the Dogs?
I don't think it's a huge blow so long as he matriculates back here. But what you do look at, kind of the numbers with Devon Wilson's injury and with Joseph having to go to junior college for this year. And again, hopefully he can be back for 2019. Now, that's two true freshmen that you were hoping could help. Obviously, Joseph won't, and we'll just have to see on the Wilson injury. So I think we feel good about the first team depth in the secondary and maybe even the top six or so, but it's kind of that next group, maybe numbers 7 through 10, where Kirby'd really like to shore things up, which means what would you say? You're probably looking at, I'm just thinking of guys who redshirted last year like William Poole, Tyson Campbell coming in, maybe puts a little bit more on those guys, and then you got the D'Angelo Gibbs factor as well.
The Waldhauer, we kind of knew he was not going to be coming here, but this, I mean,
this was a surprise.
Did you have any idea?
Nope.
Yeah,
nope.
One side note, though, the school he's going to, Independence Community College, is actually the school that will be on the upcoming season of Last Chance U.
Oh, okay.
Which, of course, they've already filmed, so you won't see Nadab Joseph. But
so they did. They filmed them last fall.
Yeah, because that's, I guess that'll be coming out again in July like the other two did.
Cool.
But they've left East Mississippi Community College, and now they're heading out to Kansas. Bonus question, between Waldhauer going to Hutchinson Community College in Kansas and then Joseph's going to Independence Community College in Kansas, who would win a game between Kansas and a community college in Kansas?
The second one.
The community college.
If you put an all-star team of those Kansas JUCOs together, absolutely.
So why is, I guess their coach is David Beatty. Why is he just not signing kids from their JUCOs?
I don't know.
Because I agree. I think, like, if you made an all-star team of just these kids that were going the JUCO route who would sign with other schools, like, they would wipe Kansas out.
Was Cam's JUCO blend, was that there or was that in Texas?
I want to say Texas, okay. But
his, it was blend.
Yes.
Okay. And I believe, is that where Mettenberger went to before he went to LSU? Okay. I think that is in Texas.
Yeah, because Cam, they won the national title there.
But hopefully those guys will be back for 19. That'd be key. You know, especially Waldhauer on the defensive line.
Yeah.
Because that's the same thing that Devontae Wyatt did. So it sounds like the deal there is that he was close academically and that if you can get all your work done, that he might could even come in December, because Wyatt was able to do that. He practiced with the team for the Rose Bowl and for the Natty and in the spring.
Right.
So that's a big lift.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if there's the silver lining to both of these is, I mean, George hadn't lost either one of them. It's just delaying their
– right.
You know, eventually them getting here. But Joseph was, I mean, he was a kid who had been committed to Bama. He was one of those on that list of guys that had been committed elsewhere that Kirby was able to swing and get to sign here. Moving on to the 5-5, Jeff, Virginia coach Bronco Mendenhall says that only 27 of Virginia's players are ACC caliber.
Oh, man.
Now, this is going to be his third season there, Jeff. So, I mean, whose fault is that? Isn't it his?
He's got to bear a brunt of that responsibility. So what you're saying is, Chris, take the under on Virginia this year. Is he just doing a serious case of poor mouth?
I think he's doing that poor mouth. Because they made a bowl last year, didn't they?
Yeah, didn't they? Did they get blown? Is that who Navy blew out?
Could be, yeah. That sounds right.
48-7, maybe.
But for them to make a bowl was really the key, because they had been awful.
But that is one, if you're a coach and you're in your third year and you're starting to knock the talent you've got there, especially this day and age when in every sport you're seeing more and more freshmen have an immediate impact. I mean, it's not like it was in the 1970s.
Well, yeah, if that's an attempt to try and just poor mouth your team and, oh, woe is us.
Well, you're poor mouthing yourself too, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, that's really – you're slandering, you. Because, if you've been there three – now, it's if you just took over for someone –
well, that's what every coach does.
Then, yeah, we've only got 27 ACC caliber players. But, I mean, 3 years in, that's your problem now.
Yeah.
That's not Detective Mike London's. Yeah, Navy beat them 49-7.
So
it wasn't fair, though. That was called the Military Bowl.
That was my favorite non-Georgia game last year, the Army-Navy game.
That was a good game,
the whites and the Blue Angel colors. Oh, it was so great.
They wear great alternate uniforms
uniforms, yes.
Speaking of bowl games, Jeff, apparently we're on the verge of having three more.
Sweet.
So don't tell the Pac-12 this, that they don't want to let 5-7 teams go because it undermines the importance or how special these bowl games are. Meanwhile, there's going to be three more. There's going to be one in Wrigley Field.
Sounds good.
One at Myrtle Beach.
Sweet.
And then one someplace else. Jeff, are there too many bowl games?
No. And listen, hey, if this means a couple teams from the – like the one at Myrtle Beach, that's probably a 7-5 Sun Belt team gets to go play. You know, here's what I've always – if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. If you don't want to go, don't go. But if you love football, hey, here's my only hope, Chris, and I don't know if they've got the schedules up. I just hope these are before Christmas because that's when we need them. We need more because there used to even be some really good bowls before Christmas. Like when we beat Arkansas in 91 in the Independence Bowl, that was on like December 22nd or something.
Yeah.
So we need to have a few more games before Christmas as well.
Well, now there's that – the first Saturday there are, like, there's
like five.
Yeah. And then it kind of go a couple days without them. But, yes.
We need, like, a Wednesday night on, like, what would you say, December 17th or something.
Yeah. But, yeah, so Chicago at Wrigley Field and Myrtle Beach are they say, pretty much locks to be two of them. And then Myrtle Beach, Conference USA, Sun Belt, the MAC, somebody like that. The Chicago Bowl will be the Big Ten and the ACC.
Awesome.
The thing you can't partner up with the Pac-12 now if they're talking about not even letting a 5-7 team go.
What is college football coming to?
And then the third one, Tempe, Arizona, Charleston, South Carolina, or Greenville, South Carolina are the possibilities.
So they would play at, I guess, the Citadel or Furman stadiums. I mean, Charleston would be a great spot.
Yeah, Tempe would be a nice spot.
Sure. Well, Tempe's already got the Fiesta Bowl. I guess this would be.
They had one anyway, too. Don't they play a bowl game in the Diamondback Stadium?
Yes.
Which is in
Phoenix.
Yeah.
But yeah,
same
it's
thing.
All one thing. So like Orlando's got two. Miami, don't they play two in Miami now as well? It's not important, but I know Orlando has like the Champs Bowl and whatever the Citrus Bowl is now. I think Miami has a lead in. I might be wrong.
They did. They got rid of it. Yeah, now they just have the Orange Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
there used to be a second one there not too long ago.
So it's not unprecedented to have a game like that.
No.
In fact, was that the game South Carolina won their first bowl game in 1994, and I'm thinking it might have been that.
Yeah, it was the Blockbuster Bowl.
That's
what it was called.
Yes.
It was because it was in, at the time, I think it was called Blockbuster. When Blockbuster Video existed.
And what was it, Huizenga? That was his.
He owned it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, kids, there used to be where you would go and rent movies.
Or what about.
There's like one left in Alaska, apparently.
What about Turtles?
Oh, I loved Turtles.
I did too.
You got the stamps.
Go buy records.
Oh, and you would get the stamps, and you would fill it in, and then you would get, you know.
If you got like 20 of them, you'd get a free CD.
Yeah, but you would buy, and then they would print out those pink stamps, and then you had a little booklet. You'd put the stamps in there, and when you filled out a booklet, you got like a free CD or something.
I told you one of my great ideas, it might have had to cut the beer out of it, but back in my college days, I was like, man, we ought to come up with like a delivery thing. And I guess Uber Eats stole my idea. And, Brame, you could appreciate this, like 1993, 94, say, hey, you call it $30, you get a pizza, a six-pack of beer, and a movie delivered.
Yeah, there you go. Well, no need to deliver a movie anymore, though.
No. No need.
The six-pack of beer and the pizza would be fine. Although, how'd you get around with, like, having some, like, 16-year-old?
Yeah, you might have to. You might not be able to do the beer part.
That might be an issue.
But even then, though, I'm thinking their nights I'd have done that for, you know, whatever amount. Oh, yeah, you deliver me a pizza and a movie? Sure.
I know when I was a kid, the people in Turtles probably hated me because that's where we'd go in there on a Friday night, and they'd have, like, the vacuums out, vacuuming the floor. They're ready to close. I'm still in there. What do I want to buy tonight?
Yeah. This kid out of here.
Yeah. Like, is he getting the message? No, I'll stay in here all night.
Do you listen to or, you know, if there's a song I want to hear, you know where I go to now is YouTube.
Oh, you just pull it up there and see the old video?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Works perfectly fine.
You got to sit through an ad, though, don't you?
Five. Four,
yeah,
three.
And then I like it. And skip ad.
It's like, who's gonna watch the whole thing?
Who does that when you get the option to skip? Who does sit there and watch the whole thing?
It has to be a Chris Brame produced ad.
That would be it. Yeah, Jeff. Moving on in the 5-5, the U.S. Open begins.
Yes.
Thursday. Who are your early early week leans to who will win it.
Really going out on a limb here. Dustin Johnson, although his win this past week and what he was able to do yesterday, so what are the odds of doing that twice in a row there? I think you always have to throw McIlroy's name out there. I like your pick and John Rahm. And I think with Shinnecock, it is not supposed to be hot. And I just know watching the Yankees-Mets last night, there were a lot of fans there in sweaters. So that brings a lot of the European players into play.
So Justin Rose?
I think Rose is a great pick. That might be who I throw my $10 down on.
You know, Cuts mentioned Jordan Spieth, and despite the fact that he hasn't won this year, but the guy did probably have the round of the year so far, what he did on Sunday at Augusta National, finish third, and he still hasn't won a tournament this year, but do we have to say, like, it's going to be a major and he's going to show up? And
I wouldn't be surprised if he's in contention. I mean, the guy elevates for the big tournaments. I mean, it's even a point, the guy is, was he 24, and he's won three. He's not that far away from having five or six.
Yeah, but he's got three missed cuts this year. He's got two third-place finishes, although one of those was at the only major that's been played so far this year. But no first, no second so far.
I think the thing with the U.S. Open with Spieth, he is usually, Chris, as we know, he's an excellent ball striker. He's not overly –
he's known for that.
Yes, he's not overly long. And at a U.S. But, again, he's already won one, so – yeah, but he is generally, and I know God number 18 in Augusta will haunt him, but he is generally an accurate driver, which puts him into play. So there are a lot of factors thrown in here. This could be a course, once again, kind of like, and wasn't it strange last year Aaron Hills looked like a British Open, and when they when Big Crenshaw and his group went in and changed some things up at Pinehurst. We've had a lot of U.S. Opens that have looked like British Opens, and we might have another one of those at Shinnecock this weekend.
The USGA finally realized that, like, the British Open is a better major.
It is.
So.
Because, what, at Aaron Hills, there weren't any trees.
That was last year's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Brooks Koepka won.
He hadn't been heard from since.
No. Oh, he was a guy. He had gotten in the top 10.
I know he was hurt earlier this year. Like, he didn't even play at Augusta.
But he was a guy who I thought, like, yeah, he could. I'm not saying he's going to win another major, but he could be on leaderboards. But
yeah,
he's been nowhere to be
found. Yeah, he did have some kind of an injury. We'll give him a little bit of a pass.
Sure.
Finally, Jeff, the Falcons will start mandatory minicamp tomorrow. Will Julio Jones be there?
Magic 8-Ball says no.
So you think this weird offseason?
Listen, you got your second source even telling you.
I have sources that tell me that this, you know. Most people just want to brush off this friction as, it's no big deal. Nothing to see here. Move along. All is well. What I'm being told is all is not well.
Obviously, or he'd be in. He'd be signed.
He'd be at OTAs, which aren't mandatory, but, you know, you got the second-year offensive coordinator, and he wants to tweak the offense. So, I mean, it'd be nice to have Julio Jones there because – He would be a part of those plans of tweaking the offense.
All right, Sark, don't roll Ryan out, though, on the last play.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't roll Ryan out on any play.
No, he doesn't like it.
All right, there's the 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.